I'm going to read just a short little verse, a couple of verses to you. Some of you may have them already memorized. From 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Well, today we find ourselves in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel with a story that's probably very familiar to just about all of you. It is the story of how David came to be king of Israel and how he became the greatest king that Israel ever had. And so really quickly, I'm going to recap that. We have to go back to a time before David was even born to be able to get a little bit of sense about where we are today. We're going to start with Hannah. And Hannah was a woman who was barren. Now, you know, there are so many stories about barren women in the Old Testament, and they almost always end up with the women having children, and that's what happened with Hannah. She went to the temple and prayed and prayed and prayed, "Please, Lord, give me a son. If you'll just give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." And so sure enough, Hannah becomes pregnant and has Samuel. And so when Samuel is old enough, Hannah takes him to the temple and sends him out to do God's work. And so Samuel was a really, really wonderful leader for Israel. But as he got older, the people in Israel, being people after all, started saying, "We want a king like the other nations have." Now, God didn't really want them to have a king. God really wanted them to have a religious leader like Samuel. And Samuel talked to God about it, and finally God just said, "You know, just give them what they want." And so God made it possible for Samuel to find a man named Saul. And so Saul became the first king of Israel. And Saul started out pretty good, but as time went on, Saul wasn't so great anymore, and that's a whole nother story. But the fact is, there came a day when God said to Samuel, "I have rejected Saul as king. You got to find another one." So that's where we start in chapter 16, because Samuel felt terrible about, number one, having to tell Saul that he wasn't going to be king anymore, and we don't know what was going on in Samuel's heart, but we do know that he mourned. And so chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem.'" Now you know the olive oil was to anoint the new king. And God says, "Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be king." And so Samuel makes this trip and all kinds of things happen, but the big day comes and he goes in and he sees Jesse and he says, "God has asked me to see your sons." And so all the sons come in and Eliab comes forward and Samuel thinks, "Oh, awesome, this guy is going to be great. He's like big and strong and strapping and he looks so noble and he must be the one." And God says to Samuel, "He's not the one. In fact, he says, 'Don't judge by his outward appearance. For I've rejected him.' The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Samuel ended up checking out all seven of these sons. They just came one by one. They kept coming. And every time Samuel thought, "This must be the one, this must be the one." But none of those was it. Now, I think Samuel's pretty smart because I might have, at the end of that big thing, thought, "Well, God, I'm sorry, but I did what you said." But that's not what Samuel did. Samuel looked at Jesse and said, "You have another son?" I mean, obviously, there must be somebody else because God said it's going to be one of your sons. And Jesse said, "Well, yeah, there is that youngest one, but he's out watching the sheep and goats." And Samuel says, "Well, bring him in, and we're not going to sit down and eat until I see him." So the youngest son shows up. His name is David. And God says, "This is the one. Anoint him." And so Samuel anoints David on the spot. And the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him from that day on. And Samuel went home. Now, we all know this story, and we understand that concept of God looks at our hearts, not at our outward appearance. And I don't know about y'all, but I've always thought, oh, what a great story. See, they just looked at David, thought he wasn't good enough, and he ended up being great. But when we apply it to our own situations, it can take a whole different meaning. It sometimes helps us have opportunities to find God in places we might not have expected to see God when we start looking at people's hearts instead of their outward appearance. Now, I don't know if you all know this. Some of you might know. I'm moving. And you can laugh. It's pretty funny. If it wasn't funny, I'd be crying. So let's just laugh about it. And so this whole moving process has been quite beleaguered and detail-oriented, and I'm not a detail person. But what we've been trying to do is get things organized for me to move out 2 weeks early so that the floors can be replaced in the parsonage, so that when the new pastor comes, he doesn't have to find a place to stay. The parsonage will be ready for him. And so I'm going to commute for the 35 miles or so every day. Well, 70. But anyway, we have talked to Lowe's, and we've scheduled this. We started this process, are you ready? In May, we started this process of talking to Lowe's, and so we finally got it down to, I mean, it's going to come down to the wire, even though we had so much time in advance. And so we were going to move on Thursday. 3 days ago, that Thursday. Everything was set. Movers were going to come. We were going to leave. I was going to have Friday and Saturday to sort of get things sorted and be fresh as a daisy today. Well, that is not what happened, because my father-in-law died on Tuesday. And when we talked to my mother-in-law, she said, I want the funeral on Thursday. And I went, took a little swallow and called the movers and Can you come a different day? And, well, we can come Monday. No, Monday won't work because that's when the floor installers are coming. And so it just got crazier and crazier. So the funeral's on Thursday, and the mover said they could come yesterday. And they were going to be there at 10 or 10:30. So at 3 o'clock, they came. And so what happened was, outward appearances. What happened was, in my mind, I'm going, why are they taking so long? Well, it turns out they had truck trouble. So then they had to get a U-Haul. And then that U-Haul had trouble. So then they had to get another U-Haul. And then they finally called me and said, okay, we're on Lindbergh Lane. I went, okay, that's not where you're supposed to be. It's got some name called I said, Pontotoc? Yes. So I'm talking to this guy, and he sounds like really anxious when he's on the phone talking to me. And I'm getting more anxious. And finally, I said, okay, tell me what you see. So he tells me where he is. What's a street sign? So anyway, I got him. I said, how did you get here? On 29. I'm going, why did you come on 29? Because they were from Kerrville. Oh, well, we had to go to Austin first. Oh, so finally they get there. This truck looks very undependable. I'm just thinking, okay, perfect. They're not even going to make it down the street in this truck. So they get there, and this guy who was really anxious sounding gets out of the truck. He's the driver. He did not look like what I thought a mover should look like. He was very big and had even trouble breathing a little bit. I'm going, oh my. The other guy gets out, and he's like this little lithe, nimble person, but he doesn't utter a sound. He's just really quiet. So they pull the truck up to the house, and they get it. They had to go in the backyard, so they didn't have to do all the steps, et cetera, et cetera. That's logical. And I'm really not too confident at this point. I mean, everything else has gone crazy, so why would this not go crazy, right? And so he comes in, and they're trying to move things. He's sweating, and just, it was crazy. And he says, now we're going to take real good care of your stuff, so you don't have to worry about that. I mean, I didn't even say a word. And he starts out like that. And I said, okay. I'm praying, right? Get myself down. And I said, now they said you were going to put shrink wrap. Yeah, we'll take care of everything. Okay, good. And so I finally see that things are sort of going okay. This guy did not look like what I thought he should look like, but his heart, he had the heart of someone who was going to take your possessions into his care and take care of them for you. And so they kept moving things, and then it turned out that, well, they weren't going to be able to finish yesterday. They're not finished yet. They weren't going to be able to finish yesterday for a lot of reasons. And so I finally looked at him. I said, well, do y'all work on Sunday? And I said, I hate to ask you that. He said, well, it's Father's Day. Well, I forgot about that. Well, never mind. He said, no, that's not important. He said, we'll be here tomorrow morning. And he looked at his partner. He said, early. We're leaving Kerrville at 6. I went, there's the heart again. Because he knew I had to be in church today. And I gave my husband a pass on church today, by the way. He's over there helping as we speak. This situation did not look anything like I thought it should. The people didn't look right. The truck didn't look right. Nothing looked right. But the heart was there. And so instead of what I expected from him, I got what I had hoped for. And there's a difference. But if we don't take the time to look past that outward appearance, we might miss that thing that we hoped for. Nothing about this move has really gone about according to my plan, and that's what I should have expected. But instead, I have found out that instead of getting what I expected, I got what I hoped for, and that is that God has been right there in all of it and continues to be right there in all of it. Oh, and did I mention that yesterday when we decided that we were going to change the plan, nearly every single item I needed to get ready this morning was, well, I guess it's still in the parsonage. It was hysterical to me. I almost started preaching when some of y'all came in and said, oh, I didn't recognize you. Look at your hair. I went, yeah. You didn't get what you expected. Sometimes we just punt, right? And it's usually when we're getting something we're not expecting. And so with David, it was the same. He walked in. He'd been out with the sheep and the goats. Can you imagine? He probably didn't smell that great. He was probably hot and sweaty. He was small. You know that the Bible doesn't tell us how, it doesn't describe people very often, but it does describe David. And it describes him as small. Some translations say ruddy, so that means kind of dark complected, kind of red complected. And beautiful eyes. And the eyes did look into his heart and see who he really was. David became the greatest king that Israel ever had, ever, bar none. Despite the fact that if you have read the stories of David, you can see that he was not what you'd call a paragon of wonderful behavior. But God looks not at the outward appearance. I don't think God much looks at our behavior if you want to get really with it. God looks where? In our heart. For us, good behavior just helps us get along with people. But good behavior cannot give you a beautiful heart. Only a heart for God can shine through. And so today, rather than relying on my normal routine and my outward appearance, I don't even have on jewelry today. I mean, goodness, I don't look right. But I still have a heart for God. And it was hard to sing all of those songs about Jesus without crying this morning. That's not from how I look. That's from my heart. And the movers? Well, they're at the parsonage with my husband getting things ready. I don't know how it's all going to look, but getting things ready. because of their great hearts. Granted, they're being paid to do a job. But being paid to do a job and then being paid to do it with heart, that's two different things, and you can tell the difference when you meet someone like that. And after that, this afternoon, we'll all be celebrating Father's Day. Are y'all going to celebrate Father's Day? I bet everybody has a plan for that. Yeah, we do too, but it's not going to look like what I thought. We're going to be surrounded by boxes in a house where I have no idea where anything is. It's going to be great. And our son and his family and friends from Florida are coming. I can't wait for this. John Wesley used to start so many of his conversations with this: how is it with your soul? But today I ask, how is it with your heart? Are you ready to live life knowing that God is there and lead with your heart? Or are you going to get so bogged down in the things that happen that you don't expect that you forget that God is even over there waiting? Only your heart can tell you that God is there. Things are rarely the way they seem. Things are rarely smooth and easy. People are rarely who you think they are until you can look at their hearts. As long as we just stop at someone's outward appearance, we will lose and they will lose as well, because we have lost the opportunity for a relationship. And even when we judge the way someone looks, thinking that they're going to be something they're not, it's no different than judging the way someone looks based on and giving, assigning them success just because of the way they look, whereas inside their hearts might not be so easy to talk to. Look at people's hearts. Look at their hearts. You're going to get a new pastor. And some people might look at him and go, look, I don't like the way he looks. I don't know why anybody would do that, but I don't know why anybody does anything. Look at the heart. Look at the heart. Look at the heart. It takes more time, takes more patience, and it certainly takes more prayer. But when you can see someone's heart, they will be able to see yours. And isn't that how we all want to be seen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.